Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. First, the probable cause of AIDS has been found. A variant of a known human cancer virus. Second, not only has the agent been identified, but a new process has been developed to mass produce this virus. Thirdly, with discovery of both the virus and this new process, we now have a blood test for AIDS. With the blood test, we can identify AIDS victims with essentially 100% certainty.
That was former Health and Human Services Secretary Margaret Heckler. The date was April 23, 1984. That's when she announced that HIV had been identified as the cause of AIDS. Since the early 1980s, more than 600,000 people have died of AIDS in the United States. But over the past 30 years, advances in treatment have come a long way. Today, we're going to take a look back at some of the major breakthroughs, how the culture surrounding the disease has changed, and ask what still needs to be done. Mitchell Warren's executive director of AVAC. It's a New York-based nonprofit that works on global HIV prevention. Mitchell Warren, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I want to take us back in the early days of HIV/AIDS. I was a college student. Very little was known about the disease. I have sort of hazy memories of what it was like back then in terms of public perception, public fear. Take us back. What were the worst fears that folks had about AIDS at the time?
Well, we may be somewhat contemporaries in that I was also at university at the other UW, at the University of Wisconsin, in the early 80s. And I can remember opening up the New York Times and seeing a double-page spread of obituaries of mainly young gay men who were dying of still mysterious causes. And then in 84, when Secretary Heckler made her big announcement that we understood the virus at heart, you basically were looking at a disease that was running rampant in specific communities. We didn't fully understand it, and we did know that it was largely, at the time, a death sentence. People got the virus, and people died.
When was the first big breakthrough when it came to treating people to be able to live with HIV/AIDS?
Well, you know, things did move very quickly. So after the virus was discovered in 84, the first antiretroviral drug was actually approved by the FDA just 3 years later in 1987. So it was a rather rapid trajectory. Once people understood, once scientists could figure out what was the cause, they were able to develop this first drug. But, you know, and it was AZT. One hears about it often. It was highlighted in recent media with Dallas Buyers Club. But it was an important step to get the first drug approved, but it still took a number of years to transition that from a one drug that was not entirely effective on its own to the kinds of combinations that we work with today. And by the mid-90s, then, the advent of what was called highly active antiretroviral therapy, the so-called drug cocktails, came into place. But you know, each decade, it seems, had a huge trajectory and momentum all of its own.
Another milestone happens in 1991. This is when Magic Johnson, the NBA player, publicly announced that he was HIV positive. What impact did that have on public awareness and perception of the disease?
You know, it was huge and can't be underestimated. And remember, too, back in the 80s when Margaret Heckler made her announcement, it was in the Reagan administration. And President Reagan uttered the word AIDS only once in his entire presidency. And it was a disease that dare not speak its name. It affected populations, gay men, immigrants, the Haitian community. And these were marginalized, stigmatized communities, and politicians didn't talk about them. And the press didn't really cover it. It was like kind of a hidden disease for all intents and purposes. So Magic Johnson's announcement in 91 was a huge step forward that said being HIV positive was not a death sentence. It was not something that should carry stigma with it, although it did. But it was something that people could move beyond. And I think we've seen ever since that announcement in each country around the world when someone stepped up and said, I'm HIV infected and I have a life and I have rights and I have responsibilities is a huge milestone.
Mitchell Warren is with us. He's executive director of AVAC, which is a nonprofit that works on global HIV prevention. 30 years ago this month, researchers identified HIV as the cause of AIDS. And you mentioned the mid-1990s as an important moment medically, but what's been really the biggest breakthrough when it comes to HIV treatment over the last 30 years?
Well, you know, I think it's not so much what research was done and what discoveries were made, but I think AIDS really changed how research happened. If you go back to those early discoveries in the 80s and in the 90s, it certainly took dedicated scientists in the United States and all over the world. But science changed because communities acted up, to use the term, because ACT UP was really the pivotal movement at the time that said science is not just for scientists. Here were citizen activists who said, many of whom were either infected or dear loved ones infected with HIV, who began to be part of the research process. They both supported researchers and scientists, but they also pushed researchers and scientists, and they pushed the U.S. National Institutes of Health to invest more. They pushed the FDA to be more creative and more aggressive in both certainly ensuring safety, but also to cut the delays. And so activism really transformed how research happened. And today, all over the world, not just in AIDS research, but the advent of community advisory boards, where communities are part of the decision-making process, part of the design and conduct of clinical trials, really came to be because of the AIDS community and the AIDS movement. So it wasn't just the pioneering science that was done, but the pioneering of how science was done.
Mitchell Warren, I want to end by asking really about the future and about the biggest challenges that you see moving forward for HIV researchers.
Well, you know, research is so important. We only stand right now in 2014 even able to talk about incredible advances in treating and preventing HIV because of the science that was funded and invested over the last 30 years. And when we, you know, you hear lots of talk about the end of an epidemic, but, you know, this is still many, many years away. We've only just begun this effort, and science got us to the point of even being able to talk about the end. But science has got to be prioritized as part of the treatment and prevention activities, because research will get us better treatments. They will get us better prevention tools, as we've seen coming the last few years. They will get us a vaccine, and they may very well get us a cure, but it's only if we invest in science. So it's often said that, you know, you can't treat your way out of the epidemic, and you can't prevent your way alone out of the epidemic. It's really when you strategically align treatment and prevention and critical investments in research and development that we really can truly think about an end many decades to come, but it is within our scope that it's possible.
What part of that, what part of the focus now is on developing a vaccine?
You know, there has been talk about vaccines since the beginning. And it's funny, that quote you had, the clip from Margaret Heckler, she's often been misquoted. She didn't say we'd have a vaccine in 2 years. She said that because of these advances, we would be testing a vaccine in 2 years. And she missed it by a year or so. And yet, from 87 until 2009, it was really a series of shots in the dark, so to speak. And 2009, though, we had the announcement of the first ever clinical trial that showed that a vaccine in a human clinical trial was actually partially effective. And we still have a long way to go before that vaccine would be licensed and deployed, as we have so many other vaccines. But through an enormous collaboration, and actually Seattle is home to so much of this collaboration, through both leadership of science at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center and at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, working with the U.S. NIH and with companies, are beginning right now to develop a series of studies to build on that result from 2009. AIDS vaccine research always takes longer than we would like, but we have more clarity in the directions that we're going right now that really, I think, have excited the vaccine community and should excite us all, because we need to be delivering all the tools we have today better to begin to bend the curve of the epidemic, as we say in epidemiologic terms. But we need to develop these additional tools, most importantly a vaccine, to truly even think about ending an epidemic.
Mitchell Warren, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
He's executive director of AVAC. That's a New York-based nonprofit that works in global HIV prevention. Once again, 30 years ago this month, researchers in the United States identified HIV as the cause of AIDS. You're listening to The Record on KUOW.